And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues, and more. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Ian Westmoreland.
Good morning, Bill.
Ian worked for some 40 years in the Australian and New Zealand utilities industries in various IT roles, mostly as an IT development and support manager. On 10 September 2013, he experienced a life-changing moment that ultimately led to his decision to retire from paid work in May 2014, and commence a volunteer mentoring career with, firstly, the RAISE Foundation, who we've had on this program, Kids Hope, and Coach. Ian, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be here.
We touched on a few things there, Ian. Can you tell us what first led you to go down the mentoring men path?
As you pointed out, I was working most of my life as an IT project manager. And in 2013, I started to think more that there's more to life than just making money and delivering software changes, starting to sense there was a bigger purpose for me. And then on the 10th of September 2013, I got on the train at Asquith Station and continued to read a book that my youngest daughter had given me. There's a book by a US pastor whose name is Steve Furtick. The book was called Son, Stand Still. So I got on the train, I turned over to page 54, and I read the following. So why do many of us default on our potential? We feel that we're doing our part as long as we live decent lives, tick, stay out of trouble, mostly tick, pay taxes, tick, have babies, got four kids, make a living, buy a boat, hit age 59 and a half, collect retirement, die. I was born on the 10th of March 1954. I was 59 and a half the day I actually read that. And I ticked all the other boxes too. I even had a boat. So that prompted me to quit my high-paid job, much to my wife's concern, and I went through a training course to become a volunteer mentor with the RAISE Foundation, which I did for the next few years, and then subsequent to that, I also joined the Kids Hope Mentoring Program to mentor into primary schools, and then also joined the Coach Program, which mentors into the family environment.
So that led to a decision in June 2018 to begin developing the Mentoring Men Program. And then it was officially launched in November 2018. So that was a big change from being an IT manager, wasn't it?
Huge change of direction. I guess the forerunner for that, I was mentoring a young guy at one of the local high schools in early 2018. And in the very first session I had with him, he shared with me that his father had committed suicide. His mum was an addict who was in and out of rehab. And he just broke down and in front of me and he said, Ian, help me. And this is part of the RAISE Foundation model. And under that model, we then have a debriefing session with the program counsellor. So in the debrief, I shared what had gone on. It's confidential other than what you share with a counsellor. And the counsellor surprised me. Her question was, are you okay, Ian? I said, yeah, I'm okay. And then she asked me again, and I just started crying. I didn't even know this was in me. And over the next few months, I was flat. And I realised it was this frustration of not being able to fix the issue. As men, we like to fix things. And this young guy who'd been going through this torment, as a mentor, I was unable to fix that situation. So it took about two months, and I realised I actually wanted a mentor myself, just like the tens of people that I'd mentored officially and unofficially. I was seeking a mentor. So I did a search on the internet, and to my amazement, there was nothing. There was a small group of guys in Coffs Harbour. There's nothing for men. There's all these programs for kids, which is great. There's programs for women. There was no free, I call it life mentoring program for men. So I channeled that energy into writing a proposal. And often I've done this in the past and it just goes into a filing cupboard. But coincidentally, I received an invite a couple of weeks later to go to the Hornsby RSL for a presentation being given by Lifeline with Julian Lisa. Julian Lisa is the federal MP for Barawa. He shared his story, how his father had committed suicide 20 years ago, and every day he reflected on that. So Julian's goal was to try and improve men's health and reduce suicide in the community. So he partnered with Lifeline, and Lifeline had come up with this half-day course. The presentation was great. I don't know why, but I actually took this proposal that I'd written. As soon as it finished, I made a beeline for Julian, And he saw me coming, and I said, Julian, that was great. I said, but where was the support that could have prevented people getting down to the point of self-harm or suicide? And he got it straight away. He said, Ian, come and talk to me. So a couple of weeks later, I met with Julian in his office. He was incredibly supportive. He gave me a number of ideas in terms of how to progress the proposal. He offered, and we accepted him to be our first ambassador. And then it went from something on a piece of paper to I was truly committed to doing this. And since then, Julian's been just an amazing ambassador. Recently arranged for us to go to Canberra to meet with Scott Morrison for World Suicide Prevention Day with a number of other politicians from both sides of Parliament.
There seemed to be a few life-changing events there. Was there one in particular that got you down this path?
I guess the first one was just reading something on the 10th of September 2013, because I felt that was just a message for me, and I believe one of my main purposes in life is to do this. I guess the second one is the experience with this young guy and how that impacted me and the realisation that we desperately need a mentoring program for men. We need, as men, we struggle with our relationships. We struggle with making ourselves vulnerable. We struggle expressing our emotions. If any demographic needed mentoring, it's men, and it doesn't exist. Mentoring men will fill that gap.
Because I think, as you point out, I mean, every one of us can experience periods of anxiety, feeling down, relationship issues. I mean, so many of us have been through them, and perhaps the extreme ones are relationship breakdown with the divorce rate the way it is. Is that when men need someone? That's when you put your hand up.
I produced a diagram that to me reflects how a mentoring men program works. On the left-hand side of the diagram, we've got the happy man. We've got a guy who's leading a fulfilling life and is well-connected. And as you pointed out, life events happen. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a breakdown in a relationship. It could be a job loss. A lot of us men get self-esteem from our work. It could be a sports injury. It could be anything like that. And that can shift us down onto a conveyor belt, if you like. And that conveyor belt, if no action is taken, can gradually move a person who's impacted along. And if nothing happens, eventually they get to the point where it's a more serious situation. They could consider self-harm. And at that point, they need professional help. Where I see mentoring men getting involved is that we have mentors who come alongside that man. Immediately they get on the conveyor belt. We're there for them. We walk with them. We listen. We don't judge. We support and encourage them. And ultimately our goal would be to get them back to be the happy man position where they're contented and well connected.
People like you inspire me, Ian, but you know, I wonder if a lot of men might see themselves in the middle position. They probably could see themselves as a mentor and also as a mentee, if you like.
Great question. So this started because I was actually looking for a mentor myself. And we train our mentors. They go through our own two-day facilitation workshop. I also do the Lifeline course that Julie and Lisa promoted that day. But what we're seeing, a number of the men who go through the training course then decide they actually want to have a mentor. And it's been incredibly successful. We do surveys of both our mentors and we call them mentees, the guys who are seeking a mentor, at the start of the mentoring relationship, at the end, and there's been tremendous results and feedback. For mentors, many of them have described this as being one of the most fulfilling things they've done. Some of these guys have retired, they're looking for purpose, and here they are, they're passing on their life skills to another man. So it's great.
We're going to hear a bit more about that in a minute. We're going to take a short break now, and perhaps this will get us in the right frame of mind, but this is a song by Glen Campbell, who I know is a favourite of our guest in Westmoreland. This song is called Less of Me.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me, let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery, think a little more of others and a little less of me. Let me be a little braver when temptation bids me waver. Let me strive a little harder to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker with the brother that is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me. Let me be when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Let me serve a little better those that I am striving for. Let me be a little meeker with the brother that is weaker. Think a little more of others and a little less of me.
And that was Less of Me by Glen Campbell. And we're speaking today with Ian Westmoreland, who is the founder of a group called Mentoring Men. So, Ian, we were just talking about how you came to this conclusion that men needed something like this in the community. What does Mentoring Men actually do?
So we provide one-on-one, we call it life mentoring. So it's not like there's a, in the business world, you can have business mentoring where a radio host expert like yourself, Bill, would provide training to another young person also wanting to move in that area. This is where we support someone in life, and it could be through their relationships or handling a job loss or anything like that. So we train and validate our mentors. So they, their mentors put in an application form. We validate that. We do reference checks. We ask for a working with children check. We ask for a police check. And then they go through our own two-day workshop and also do a lifeline course. So they're well prepared. The mentees, prospective mentees, also put in an application form. They go through an intake assessment process where we have a professional social worker do that. And then we get some guidance on matching appropriately the mentor to the mentee. The mentees may have never had a positive male role model in their life. They may never have had a father, just want someone who's got a share a common interest. So when the matching happens, we introduce them to each other. If they can decide they want to enter into a mentoring relationship, they sign an agreement. And mentoring sessions are usually held for an hour once a week or once a fortnight, and we recommend for a minimum of 6 months.
So how long would a typical session last, do you think?
Still within the hour. If it's going to 2 hours or more, then it shouldn't be.
So the mentors themselves, they know the ropes, they've been through the mill, whatever you want to say. They've got some life experience, and they can often put themselves in the position of the mentee and say, well, this is one way out of your current problem. Is that the way it's approached?
Yeah, we find that most people have got the answer within themselves. It's just through expressing what their situation is and having someone who will actively listen helps them identify what the solution or the way out of their current predicament is. Steve Bidoff, who's the well-known Australian author, has also been a supporter of Mentoring Men, and I saw him being interviewed on 1+1 recently, and he made the point that it's incredibly difficult to provide support to someone else unless you've been through a number of difficult circumstances. So our mentors range from 21 up to 85, and most of those guys have been through the relationship, they've been through the challenges that the mentee could be experiencing, so they're in a good position. I should point out that recently we had an 84-year-old guy come through the program, did the mentor training, and then he said, Ian, I'd like a mentor myself. I've decided I'd like to have a mentor, but I like someone with more experience. So we matched the 84-year-old guy with the 85-year-old mentor. So I think we broke a world record there in terms of experience. Fascinating listening to those guys talk at the initial meeting.
You put on events as well. Well, and I know you've got an event coming up for International Men's Day, which is always on the 19th of November. Could you perhaps tell us a little bit about your links with IMD?
Yeah, sure. One of our mentors recommended that I have a look at the Penrith Walk and Talk a few weeks ago. So this started about 6 months ago, initially 19 guys. They've now had over 2,000 men have walked. I rang them. I was able to go out there and talk to them about the Mentoring Men program, and then I did the walk, and it absolutely convinced me. Huge impact. As I was walking around the circuit that these guys do, a number of guys came alongside me and shared powerful stories. And it clicked to me. I assumed our mentoring relationships would be at a cafe where men look at each other face to face. And I've realized for many men that's too tough, particularly where there's emotion. But walking side by side with someone is incredibly powerful. So I looked for a site that was a circuit, that was flat, that was a coffee shop, that was safe, that and it could support scooters and wheelchairs if necessary. And we arrived at the Narrabeen Lagoon. We then looked at the date, and as you said, International Men's Day on Tuesday, the 19th of November. So we're hoping to get a great turnout there where Mentoring Men will provide free coffee and free water at the start of the event. So we're meeting at 5 o'clock at Berry Reserve, which is next to the tram shed. We start walking at 6, and the goal is to finish at 8 o'clock. If it's about 8.4 kilometres around, if men feel that that's too far, then just work out how far they can walk, halve it, go that distance, and then come back again. We're also expecting this will continue on a regular basis, weekly, at least over the summer period, and we've got some plans in place for that. So I would encourage all men within driving or public transport distance of Narrabeen to come out and just give this a go. It's men only, and the only rule is no man walks alone. You have to have someone, at least one person, beside you during the walk.
And it sounds pretty healthy, the walking or running, and no smoking, I'm sure, or no drinking, any of that stuff.
Yeah, no alcohol and no smoking, just in consideration of the other men around.
Yeah, it's look, that's great, because it sounds like International Men's Day is going to lead on to a regular event and a regular contribution in the community.
Yeah, we're seeing one of the biggest issues is the lack of connection amongst people, and particularly amongst men. And so our activities are aimed at improving connection. I believe the walk and talk events are a fantastic way, very soft way, to get men into establishing that sort of connection.
Yeah, it's you just mentioned then, you know, you can talk as you're walking along, and I know the Raise Foundation does a lot of that in cars. You know, people will talk more readily, and I think men's sheds have a philosophy of shoulder to shoulder rather than face to face. It seems to be recognising that our male sensibilities, that it's easier to be looking at something else rather than, as you say, talking and looking at each other's eyes.
There's a lot of men's groups out there, and you mentioned the men's sheds, and they're fantastic, but many men are reluctant to share the hard stuff with a group of guys. But if it's in a trusted one-on-one relationship where you're not going to be judged, you know it's going to be confidential, then men are far more likely to open up. So this is much more labor intensive than any of those group activities, but my experience has been, both as a mentor and as a mentee, it's far more effective.
So this is really an addition to the mentoring, these events that you've put on, and I might ask you about a couple of other ones you've put on. Is this sort of an expansion from just the one-on-one mentoring on a weekly basis?
So our core activity is the one-on-one mentoring, but this journey that I've been on has shown me that there is huge issues with loss of connection, loneliness, isolation. So we're trying to put on more events to help improve that situation. So the walk and talk is one. Another thing we do is put on a men's forum once a month. This forum is open to any men anywhere around the world, and we host it out of Hornsby in Sydney, but we use Zoom video conferencing, so any man can log on, where we have a fantastic speaker in Perth called Miles Potter, who's a professional mentor and been an executive in a number of businesses. He's talking about strengths-based living. There's a natural tendency for all of us to focus on our areas of weakness and in the weakness of others. This talk will be to help us identify our own strengths and to focus on those. So I'm really looking forward to it.
You come at it from both sides as the mentor and the mentee. Are you finding there's more of a demand for mentees, or have you got more mentors than you need at the moment? How's it all shaping up?
Initially, we had a much larger number of mentors, and it's a struggle for men to make themselves vulnerable and actually reach out. But over the last month, we've seen a huge increase in the number of people applying to join the program as mentees. So we've got groups like Mission Australia and others who are referring mentees into the program. And we also have men who just see our website and are applying. One of the harder things, we promote this around the community, and I often get calls from women, and the women immediately engage. They see the Mentoring Men, we've got a pull-up banner, or they see the website, and then they'll start telling me about their husband, their partner, their father, their son, their neighbour, their friend. Sometimes they're in tears. I had a phone call a couple of days ago from a woman in Perth telling me about a son who won't leave the room. And it's really hard. And initially it was difficult for me to answer these conversations. And the sad part is the message I give these people, look, I feel your pain, but there's nothing I can do unless the person that you're talking about, the male that you're talking about, contacts us, then we'll do everything we can to support them. So there's a lot of women out there feeling the pain, but they just, the men in their life have got to just take that first step. That's one of the challenges, but we're seeing that happen more often now. I would love to see a situation where you break an arm, you've got some sort of physical injury, you have no hesitation going to the doctor. But whereas if you're feeling sad or you're feeling isolated or even considering self-harm, then you can go and see a GP or you can contact Mentoring Men as well.
Does that often happen? Do you refer people to psychologists or GPs?
It does happen in some cases. There is a program where men who are feeling like self-harm or feeling really bad can go to their GP, and under the government regulations, you can get then a referral and to a number of free sessions with a psychologist. And that's a great way to go. And we will sometimes work in conjunction with men who are getting professional help. I was mentoring a young guy at one of these high schools, and he said to me, you know, I'm also seeing the school counsellor, but I'd far rather talk to you than the counsellor, which surprised me. I'm no great mentor, and he's a professional trained guy. And I said, look, why is that? He said, the counsellor's doing this because that's his job. He's paid to do this. I know you're a volunteer. You're actually here because you care about me. And in a way, mentoring men, the mentors are just expressing their care or love, if you like, for another person. In many cases, that's just what they've been missing.
Yeah, so you're filling a niche, or if you like, when you went looking, there was nothing.
Nothing.
And so how's it growing over those, you started only in June 2018, so it's not that long, but how's it growing?
Well, so we officially launched in November, mm-hmm. and we wrote out some forecasts, which are really hard to do, but we're beating those forecasts. The rates of people getting involved in the program is increasing. We're actually growing faster than what we thought. I've got a board, and the board are trying to put me under more control. I'd love to expand this program today nationally, but we've got a progressive rollout plan. We've been dependent so far on just people making donations. There's been some incredible generosity within the community. Everyone involved with Mentoring Men is a volunteer. That's all unpaid. But we need to move down the path of being able to employ and pay people to do some of the professional roles like the mentee intake assessment. So it is growing. It is going fast. Not as fast as I would like, but we're seeking funds to enable us to grow nationally. My goal is to have it fully nationally within the next 3 years.
Stirring stuff. We're speaking with Ian Westmoreland from Mentoring Men, and we'll have some more details about Mentoring Men in a minute. But I'm going to ask Ian, we always ask our guests to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which one you've picked?
A great song from the Hollies, going back to probably a long time ago, 40 years ago. He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother.
The road is long. Filled with the glass.
It's a long, long road. From the weeds there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share?
And that was He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother by The Hollies, specially chosen for us today by Ian Westmoreland from Mentoring Men. Ian, we're getting near the end of the program, unfortunately, but could you tell us what people should do if they want to contact you or the group if you're interested in being either a mentor or a mentee?
Please check out our website, which is mentoringmen.org.au, or we have a Facebook site, and on there you'll see phone numbers there. So yeah, please just contact us if you want any information. We can send you out some flyers. The website's got all the information most people would probably need. It's also got the application forms for both mentors and mentees. Or you could just get involved in our events. Come out and walk at Narrabeen Lagoon on the 19th, or just dial in via Zoom to our men's forums.
We'll have all that information on our website as well. And don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. Or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So it just remains for me to give a special thank you to our guest today, who's doing such wonderful work in the community, Ian Westmoreland. Thank you very much for being on Dads on the Air.
Thanks, Bill. It's been a great pleasure.
And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.